welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Well, Bill, how was your week?
Well, you know, Erin, it was pretty good. A little warm, you know, we're here in Reading and the onset of summer. And
2 miles from the sun.
It's not going to let us down this year.
No. We've already had some fires and everything.
Really?
Yeah, 2 fires up in the dope groves up in Siskiyou County.
Oh.
So it's a bad year to be a dope grower and have a fear of fire, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just aren't good with matches. Deal. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing up there. So let's see. The archives are at wethepeopleradio.us. And in case you haven't heard us before, the archives are free to listen to. Robert Exter is our trusty helper. He takes the, what do we call them, our free enterprise moments, a.k.a. commercials, out so you can listen without any interruption. And now I'm hearing myself. There we go. No, I'm not hearing myself anymore. We have our guest, Harry Bouyans. We are experimenting with Google Meet. Since they killed Skype, I think they turned it into Teams or something. I don't know. It became unwieldy. So, anyway, we have our guest, Harry Bouyans, from Vancouver.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me pop in and out?
No.
Oh, you're not?
In loud
oh,
and clear.
I'm just hearing
no.
me, myself pop in and
you
out.
You know, the first time we had Harry on was in 2018, I believe.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It was a really long time ago.
Yeah.
And you know, the really interesting, I was talking to him this morning and, okay, Harry, you'll have to keep me on track because the things we talked about this morning, we still have to talk about again because this morning it was only the two of us. But lately, South Africa has been so much in the news. And I think people are finally starting to hear some of the things that we have spoken about quite a bit. And, of course, the mainstream media says nothing is happening to farmers and there's no reason we should be giving them a way in. So anyway, there are all sorts of things that are happening, and I'm excited that we're going to finally get to the bottom of all of this with Harry. Is he actually in there? I'm not sure.
Uh-oh.
Didn't hear his voice.
Uh-oh.
Ruh-roh. Okay.
I heard him earlier.
Cue the bio. So just in case you've actually never heard this, Harry Bouyans, it's Dr. Harry Bouyans, actually, to me. He's internationally recognized. He's a multiple award-winning PhD defense and aerospace physicist, hence the doctor part. Originally from South Africa, his family goes back 360-plus years in that country. He currently lives with his family on the forested slopes outside of Vancouver, Canada. And his life as a scientist exposed him to many of the realities of the Cold War and the period immediately following the fall of the Berlin Wall. It included interaction with the United States and British defense establishment, and he applies his lifetime of research and interpretive skills to history and genealogy and writes with factual accuracy and engaging style on the subject. His book is linked on our page today. Today is June 8th, 2025, and I hope you'll pop on there. And Amabulu is a terrific book. It's huge. So if you want to know what's really going on, has gone on, and some factual history of South Africa, not just the crazy stuff we've all been told that we actually thought was real. Hard Evidence is a trademark of his work and has won him a number of awards. He focuses on making Americans aware of what's happening in South Africa, the historic parallels between the two countries, and the warning that South Africa holds for Western civilization in general and the United States of America in particular. And honestly, can't stress that enough. The one parallel that I hope you go back and listen to that show now in retrospect, but the toppling of the statues, that began in South Africa, and just a matter of weeks later, it was here. So things in South Africa are not as far away as you might believe. So let's see. Do we have him in there? We have a new engineer. His name is Phil. Hi, Phil.
Hello. What are we? I'm getting him queued up. Let's see if we can get this to work here.
Okay.
You should be able to hear us now, but you might be able to hear yourself coming through that channel as well.
Okay.
Harry, are you in there?
Okay, I'm switching on my mic again, so yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, you're loud and clear.
Okay. Is he echoing for anybody but me? Or does he sound fine to everyone else?
He might be echoing because I have to run it through.
Am I still echoing?
Not on the air, but.
Okay. All right, good. As long as it's not on the air. All right. Where do you want to start today, Harry? The $64,000 question.
Uh-oh.
Where did he go?
I don't know. He was just there.
I know.
I think he fell off. He fell out.
DFO. He done fell out. Remember that?
Yeah.
We had a friend who was a fireman down in L.A., and they used to get emergency calls for a DFO.
So is this okay now or not?
Yes. Yes, we're set.
We're all good.
Okay.
All right. Where do you want to start? Because we have to talk about the visit to the White House. We've got to talk about South Africans coming to the U.S. We've got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know where to start, frankly, except to reiterate that President Trump seems to have done some or other announcement at the end of every first week on his way to Mar-a-Lago or wherever. He would stop in the parking garage or whatever and talk to the media and make an announcement that has profound consequences where I come from. He's done that for 4 months in a row, and now in June, he has not done it yet.
So you're waiting for your profound announcement?
I'm waiting for, I don't know what it will be, but he's made a point of making a profound announcement every time just before getting on the plane at the end of a working week, first working week in every month.
He's got, you know, it's one of those things like the news does. You know, you have to check back there. Huge weather front coming, and then they don't tell you anything, and you've got to go back and keep listening. He's got you on the hook. So you're sitting in Vancouver hanging on, when is President Trump going near a plane?
Yep. And one thing you can be assured of is if he has something to say, you're going to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't hold back.
No. I like that. That's great.
Yes.
You'll make a great South African.
Yeah. So this big interest in bringing... So we've talked about this a lot, what's going on with the farmers in South Africa. I don't even know if it's possible to sort of give a kind of a fast forward. And if you want the rest of the story, go back and listen to all the material that you've given us. Is there a way to get people to why? Because there are a lot of folks going, why are we bringing farmers from South Africa? Why do they get special asylum? Like, people have never heard about that.
To which the answer is, why haven't you been listening?
Well, there's that. Right? We have all done our level best to bring that information to them.
Maybe the best way to handle this is a little CIA report from 1986, which is extremely revealing. I happen to be the owner of a cleared but redacted CIA, I think they call them intelligence estimates, from around June, July 1986. And it says black on white. In other words, George Bush Sr. knew this. Ronald Reagan knew this. And it goes back to 1986. That's 8 years before Mandela became president. And it says a recent ANC statement, ANC is now the government in South Africa, specifically noted that white farmers and urban white males were considered by the ANC to be part of the government security forces and therefore valid targets for ANC operations. Shall I let that sink in? Okay, so... let me be very clear. The CIA knew this as far back as 1986, July. There's no doubt about it, because I have their documents here on my screen, okay? And just in case somebody tries to erase it, I've made sure I got other copies.
And just out of curiosity, when you say target, I mean, I know
I don't say target. The ANC and the CIA said target, valid targets for ANC operations. They
right.
were blowing up things. They were putting mines on farmers' roads. They were killing people in bomb explosions. They had already bombed my mother's apartment building, etc. So there's no doubt what this is. This is military operation.
Yeah, that kind of target. I just wanted to make sure we were clear.
This was all before the ANC was in power, correct?
Yes, exactly. So this behavior, these goals, this background is well established, well documented, well known. Nowhere for anyone to hide about this. If I, the little guy from the bush in Africa, can find this, then so can all of the U.S. media. And I would respectfully ask them to either do their homework or shut the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's there, in the hand of their own security organizations. Black on white. I'll read it again. According to the CIA, in its report to the president, was Reagan, and his vice president was Bush, who got the job of nailing down terrorist organizations internationally, and who then subsequently placed the ANC on the terrorist list of the United States, terror organization. The CIA says a recent ANC statement specifically noted that white farmers and urban white males, that's me, were considered by the ANC as part of the government's, quote, security forces, unquote, and were valid targets for ANC operations. It's that blunt. So, it's not like we have to talk a lot about it. They put it on paper way back then, okay? And all that the ANC has done is it's gone ahead with that. It came to power. It's like a leopard that never changes its spots. And it just carried right on doing what it was doing, but now with all the powers of a government. And it still went after the farmers, and it still killed them. This is not deep. This is not complex. This does not require infinite analysis. They gave it to all of you guys black on white.
Yeah, and most people kind of ignored it. And why do you think that is? Because it just seems far away and has nothing to do with them?
Let me put it to you this way. The answer is yes, but let me make this one clear. I think folks in America, even Democrats, God help them, realized that they've been BS'd severely for at least the past 4 years and most likely the past 8 years, if not much longer. And they're right there. They're in Washington and they were fooled. And they're in the United States and they were fooled. And they could have stuck their heads out the window and seen for themselves what's actually going on. And they were fooled and they were misled. And now they're all having to kind of make peace with the facts of the situation. It got led by a president who clearly was out of it, okay, and everybody denied it, and now they can see it. Imagine a heap of people 12,000 miles away in Africa. What chance do you think they have of making Americans aware of the truth, if Americans cannot even see the truth when they stick their heads out the window? How does that work? I don't get it.
Yeah, that's kind of an excellent point, actually. And does that look as crazy to you outside the country as it does to us inside the country?
For us, the consequences have been infinitely worse. It meant death for many. So, it's more a case of just being permanently incredulous. How can the most powerful, most highly educated nation on earth, with the most money to pay for facts, to find out what's going on, how can that nation be so clueless? I don't get it. I've never understood it, and I haven't understood it since I was 6 years old. Because then I could stick my head out the window and see that what Time magazine was writing was not true. And I knew about it because my mother worked for a book distribution company that distributed Time magazine in South Africa. I got all the I got the unsold copies of the week. So I read them. And what I read and what I saw by sticking my head out the window didn't check.
Well, you got to...
So I've been on about this all my life. Part of that life was then consumed with a professional career and then in Canada with trying to put a whole new life together. But finally, one day, some lowlife stepped over a line of mine by suggesting that farmers ought to be killed. And that's a local Canadian guy, actually an ex-South African Canadian guy.
And his rationale for that was what?
Oh, no, they had benefited somehow from apartheid, though I don't see how. Most of them paid for their farms or inherited them from 150 years ago. These farmers in the most targeted area have been farming there for 150 years. They've had title for 150 years.
And they stole them from no one.
They didn't steal it from anyone. There are spots in South Africa where the government, between about 1948 and 1975, in that period, which was sort of the high apartheid era, where they moved black people around, and unfair. That was definitely unfair. But this idea that farmers stole their land from indigenous people, that's BS, man. Complete rubbish. This is all done under the pretense that of Africa must be for black people, okay? Given that most of them have never seen an Arab in the north of the continent. Given the fact that many of them are racist because they think that people like the Somalis are Bantu Africans, they're not. They happen to have black skins. But you call a Somali African and see what happens. You better be armed, okay? You call a Somali an African and see what happens. And that's not even counting all the Khoi people in the southwest of the continent. So this idea that Africa is only for black African people of Negroid descent, this is something that's completely made up. And it suits this ANC. So what they do is they basically sick the, as you sick a dog, they sick the lowest level of their voting population on the white people in the middle so as to distract attention from how they're messing up at the top. That's what's going on here. Okay? But
it's like the age-old magic trick, you know?
Yeah.
Watch this hand while I've got something else going on. Harry, we have to take a really quick break, and we're going to come right back. This topic is not a new one here, so we are kind of glossing over some of the deeper dive on some of the ideas, but I hope you will go to the site and look at this tab that is clearly linked to South Africa. I think we've done at least 20 shows over the years. They're all clearly marked, free to listen to. Go get smart about South Africa. I think you'll be shocked, actually, about what you've been taught your whole life. And we'll be right back with our guest, Harry Booyans. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Soul, then it's just your body. Then they go,
Yeah, when they've gone too far. So, with this whole thing, Harry, when on the ground, just out of curiosity, from your observation and all, when on the ground did this, I realize it started a long time ago, but when did it become, like, bad? Because it was bad when we spoke with you back in 2018, so it had to have been bad prior to that.
I wrote my book in 2012, and it was already horrific.
Okay. And we were hearing pretty much nothing.
Yeah. I beat a drum here for more than a decade with, you know, much less than a whisper coming back.
Yeah, because it seems like it's like someone else's problem. And it's been sold as a an issue of racism and fairness and I don't know what else you want to call it, reparation almost.
So let's check that just for a sec.
Yes, please.
Okay? Just get like some numbers. So I know that folks distrust the CIA, but can we agree that it's unlikely to lie about the size of a country? Like it could get the geographic surface area of South Africa correct? I'm prepared to grant it that much. Now, according to them, the surface area of South Africa is 121,973,200 hectares. Okay, 100 yards by 100 yards, roughly. If that's the case, then the 26,663,000 hectares of land owned by white farmers is 21.9%. Now, I dare you, this is a challenge. This is a straight out challenge to any American listening. Go find your trusty newspaper and see if any one of them has the depth of character to report that correct number. 21.9. It's actually 21.86 if you want to have it more precise. That is the percentage of the surface area of the country that is owned by white farmers. Okay?
And when you, since you look at the reporting, obviously a lot more than from a much wider set of sources. When you read about that, what do they commonly say, or do they just skip over the actual number and just say they say
it's anything from more than 90% to 80% to 72%. So the lowest number I've ever heard anyone in the formal media quote is 72%.
Oh, my God. So it's like epic lying.
It's epic lying. It's absolutely
epic. And it's
epic.
What, 21.86?
21.86. You have my permission to round that up to 21.9.
I was going to go for the 86 since it was like trapped in my mind now.
You are going to stop short of 22 because I'm not giving anybody that quarter.
But still, that's basically a full 50% off.
Yeah.
Wow. It's kind of interesting though, and I'm not going to say without the dire consequences, without the life changing consequences, but in California, 50% of the water in California gets flushed out to the ocean for what they call environmental purposes, aka fish.
Yeah.
So 50% of the water goes out. Well, if you look at 100% of the water in the state, 50 gets flushed out, 40 goes to agriculture, and 10 goes to municipalities. Yeah. But rather than tell the public that they're constantly beating on about, you know, taking showers as a group and different stuff, you know, to save water.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty hard case to make when you're flushing 50% of it to the ocean.
Yeah.
So they skip the 50. And they talk about how agriculture is using 80% of the water in California.
But it's 80% after that 50.
Yeah, yeah. It's really 40. And so it's kind of interesting that, you know, people say, well, statistics don't lie. And like, well, you've obviously never taken a statistics class. So
yeah, you can make it say whatever you want.
But, yeah.
The people using the statistics do lie.
Yeah.
So here's the point.
Interesting.
So some people then say, okay, but we've got to talk about individually owned land.
We do.
Then the number is much higher.
What does that mean?
But the black people historically never individually owned land.
Oh.
They hold it collectively. The chief holds the land, or the king of that nation holds the land, and then he apportions it to people so they can farm there and run their cattle there, etc., etc. It's not so different from what I would assume you had with the various Plains Indians, and, you know, where could they have their horses run and stuff like that. It's not, there weren't title deeds. Now, so you can't compare it like that. So then I add for you the absolutely insane, evil thing, which is, in fact, the old black homelands, the old apartheid homelands, as they called them, which were not apartheid homelands. It's where those people had always lived. So if, when you look at that, you realize the government owns that land and they don't give individual black people title to it.
So they don't count in the equation.
So they don't count it in the equation. So they're taking out everything they can possibly take out. And then they say, what white people own, what white farmers own, must be divided by this little restant thing under the line, which is basically the country minus almost the whole country. Okay? So that's how they do it. And then they come up with, so of the individually held farming land in South Africa, white farmers own 72%. That is correct. But that is not how land is held by black people who have an entirely different culture and an entirely different way of working. And, just by the way, white people are not allowed to farm on that black land. So, a lot of the country is no-go for whites. But when it comes to what surface area do they own, then suddenly all that stuff is removed from consideration. And like you're saying, all the water that goes to the fish, that doesn't count.
Right.
For figuring out who gets what. It's exactly the same thing.
It really is.
Son.
And for the same reason, because, you know, if I don't say this 5 times a day, I think I say it 10. But just like with children and dogs, when you're explaining, you're losing. You know, you just, those are two groups you don't explain. And we all know that. So when you have to explain the whole thing, you realize that a tiny percentage of the people will ever get the message and the rest of them are going to believe what they were told because it's kind of complicated and they don't have all the information.
So now let me explain to you how this ultimately ends when the very last white farmer gives up his land. When he does that, he will be owning 100% of the farmland in South Africa. Why? Because the government, when they expropriate land from white farmers, they don't actually give title of that land to any of the supposed black people supposedly being now benefited with it. They don't actually get the land. They have created things called communal property associations. So the government gives it to this community property association, call it a tribe, that's what it used to be called. So they give it to this tribe, who then keep a couple of chickens, 5 goats, maybe 5 cows, and put a couple of corn pips in the ground, right? Effectively neutering that place as commercial agriculture. So, but they don't get title. The government doesn't give title of that to that land to these people. The end result is that as they take away more farms from white people, this denominator under the line, because that's the same thing with a fish. What you do is you make sure the denominator gets smaller and smaller and smaller by removing things from it. Like water for the fish doesn't count. That comes out of the equation. Now, land taken from white people comes out of the equation because they're not giving it to black people. They're giving it to associations. And the end result is that last farmer will be in the invidious position of owning 100% of the land before he loses it. I mean, he'll own 100% of the land. Of the farmland, he'll own 100% because
the
other land that's been taken away from white farmers is never shown properly on the books. It's never shown as with proper title deed. Black farmers don't get given those title deeds. And here is the sick irony of the situation. The white Afrikaner organization AfriForum, who have a legal wing, they've done rather well with their legal wing. A small number of black farmers have thrown their hands in the air and gone to AfriForum for help. And AfriForum helped one or two of them to get title. And he helped, and they helped some others to get squatters of their land. So do not think for one moment that black people are benefiting from this. That is a lie. It is a racist lie. Black people are not benefiting from this. The very least that's happening is they're going to face starvation because there's not going to be enough white commercial farmers to grow all the corn for them from which they get the cornmeal that is their staple.
Yeah, and we have, we've talked before that their history is not in farming, the black community. It's not in large-scale agriculture.
The concept of commercial farming is a foreign idea to these people. Their idea of the usage of land is it's either as pasture for their cows, or they might plow a little patch around the hut or the house, and there they will sow some stuff for their own use, typically corn or millet. And my comment to you is, that corn and millet is used for own consumption, which is why it is called subsistence farming. You grow a few things in order to subsist. You don't build an economy that way. You certainly don't build an agricultural sector that way. And now let me tell you how this gets particularly mean. Because the title deeds are not given to these folks, it means they can't provide any bank with any security. They can't, give the deed to the bank to hold as security to raise a loan to get anything done. So they cannot raise money to get the farming done.
They couldn't even become large-scale agriculture because
they cannot become large-scale. Yeah. So the end result of this is, let's call this what it is. This is a collection of gangsters that were forced in there by the Clinton administration way back in 1994. Clinton fawned over Mandela and that lot. Eventually, Dabia in 2008 removed the terrorist status from their name. And what they're doing is they have basically stolen the country. They've stolen all the resources. They have annihilated entire industries. They have corrupted everything, and they have bankrupted the state airline. They have bankrupted the state power utility. Many big places are not getting consistent water anymore. If there's anything called infrastructure, it is failing or has already failed. This is the end game of this is how a civilization ends. So if Americans want to know how America will end one day, $1,000 airfare to South Africa, just go and sit down there and take a look. This is what it looks like when it all finally goes to hell and communism takes over and socialism takes over.
Let's take a quick break, because I want to come back with that that idea. I'd like to know what they think that looks like, and why would I mean? I realize we don't think that's a good goal, but when the, if they were sitting all together, how are they selling this as a great idea? Besides the fact they're in charge of everything, but we'll come right back. Our guest is Dr. Harry Bouyans. We are discussing South Africa, past and present, big time on present, and worth American scrutiny and some study, because this really does parallel what's happening here. You can find all that information at wethepeopleradio.us.
And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams on which I'm dying are the best I ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad.
Short answer is yes. You knew too much and we're terribly sorry, but it's made you crazy. So what they're doing turns into, you know, starvation and a bunch of other unpleasantness.
Yeah. They don't see that.
They don't see that.
No.
So they think that they're going to have, what, this Marxist dream where the government doles out everything to everyone because now no one produces, owns anything?
It's going to be very good, like in the past, like when we had chiefs. The chief is going to look after you. The chief will make sure that the food is there.
Oh, is that the narrative?
Yes. You go to the chief and you give the chief the presents. And the chief, he looks after you. The chief, he will tell you where you can keep your cattle. The chief, he will tell you where you can put up your hut. The chief, he will tell you where you can get the seeds. Everything will be good like it used to be before this horrible white man came here.
Oh, and that's the pitch.
That's it. It's not deep. It works.
No, that's pretty straightforward.
Especially when you have members of parliament stand up and say, this was a good place until some Dutch guy arrived in 1652. Okay?
Like he was there.
I like having arguments with Microsoft Copilot because I accuse it of being woke, you see. And yesterday this thing came at me and it said that my old hometown of Port Elizabeth has been renamed to Paberga. So, of course, you can trace the likeness between Port Elizabeth and Paberga. To which I explained to this thing that is, in fact, not a Khoza word at all. It's a made-up word, and they're just trying to stick it to white people. They're just trying to find anything to aggravate, annoy, upset, whatever. They're inventing history that never existed. You know, anything goes. You need to understand, it's okay to steal cattle from another tribe, right? You get praises for stealing cattle from another tribe. You just don't steal from your own tribe. You do that, you get killed.
Huh.
So life used to be very nice.
It's good to have rules.
They remember. So I told this thing, well, you're talking about Port Elizabeth. Do you understand? Do you realize that there was absolutely nothing there before the year 1820? There was a little wooden fort. That's all there was. There were no Amakosa people, no black people either there. It was the British Army turned up in 1799, and they put up a little wooden fort at the place, and it stayed like that till 1820. So what is this that they think they should, quote, get back?
Yeah, what they were never displaced, so you can't get back something where you never were.
Yeah, and then I have to sit and read here, even Wikipedia, how the white farmers trekked north into Africa to go and practice slavery. What on God's earth are they talking about? Those farmers didn't really even have slaves. You don't really need slaves to do cattle ranching. If nobody's noticed, go ask the nearest cattle rancher. You need it for cotton fields. There are no cotton fields where those guys came from. So, interestingly, it was a Canadian historian just at the turn of the last century who wrote, when the British took over the old Transvaal Republic in 1877, they immediately set about trying to release all the slaves that are supposed to be there, and then to their amazement found that there were none. So they couldn't set any free.
Awkward. Terribly awkward.
Terribly awkward. Their propaganda of decades and decades and decades, they suddenly went and annexed their own BS, okay? And that's when they had to report, unfortunately, sir, I have to report to headquarters that we have been unable to find any slaves because these damn Boers don't have slaves, the idiots.
Actually, if he was smart, he would have been back and told him that the situation was all handled and they released them all.
You know, the Brits never cease to amaze me. Never in the history of mankind has there been a nation that could BS itself with such gay abandon and then make music to it.
That's nice. That's a nice line. I like that.
So this is
theoretically returning to a time that never was, which parallels another thing that's going on. You know, I mean, we regularly do environmental projects. You know, let's take out the Klamath dams and the river will have more fish and it'll have more water, and like it has neither. And everybody's like, oh, but it'll happen later. Well, that's funny because it never happened in the past. So why would it happen now? But they were able to do the largest dam removal in the history of the world. Based on fiction. So anyone out there listening who thinks, well, this never happens here.
I have managed to pull up that CIA document in front of me here. And I thought, if you'd allow me, I would just quickly like to share.
Oh, yeah.
That it is its name and number. Let's just see here. It says SNIE. 73-86. That 86 stands for the year. It's dated July 1986, and I have a photocopy of copy number 509. That's scary in itself. It means that in 1986, already when the CIA did an intelligence report, they made 509 copies. I wonder how they controlled those.
Probably in Joe Biden's garage.
The title of the thing is the African National Congress of South Africa, Organization, Communist Ties, and Short-Term Prospects, Special National Intelligence Estimate. And then, just in case we have difficulty understanding who this is, it says, this estimate is issued by the Director of Central Intelligence, and then it says, the following intelligence organizations participated in the preparation of the estimate. The Central Intelligence Agency, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, and the Intelligence Organization of the Department of State. I'm trying to figure out what that last one is. Anyway, also participating, the Assistant Chief of Staff for Intelligence of the Department of the Army, the Director of Naval Intelligence, Department of the Navy, the Assistant Chief of Staff, Intelligence Department of the Air Force, and Director of Intelligence Headquarters, Marine Corps. So the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, they were all there in this thing. They all knew this.
And give me the document again, and I'm going to write it down so people can go there and look that up if they want.
I can send you the link after the show if you wish.
Oh, that'd be even better.
So let me do that rather than burn up any more airtime for you.
Perfect.
Its number is SNIE 73-86.
Okay.
July 1986. And it's on the internet. It's right there.
Yeah. Link coming soon. Okay, perfect. Thanks. I'll watch for it.
So this stuff is real, okay? It's real. And this is the homework I did before I first opened my mouth.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then there's something else that I think that folks generally lack. They don't have a feeling, bluntly put, for the size of South Africa. Okay, sure, I said 121,900 and something hectares. But here's the way you can make up South Africa, if you wish, out of American states. I did this quickly. You can add Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, and then you can go inland, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, and Kentucky. And then you'll be over by about 2,000 miles, so you can take out Rhode Island. Like anybody's going to miss it. Okay? So my comment to you is, that is the size of the place.
Yeah, it's...
It's big.
right. So it isn't like everybody's crammed in a tiny city fighting over scraps. There's plenty of room.
In your local terms, if you put California and Oregon and Washington State together, you would not yet be at the size of South Africa.
Yeah.
It's bigger than that. You'll have to lump in a piece of Nevada.
And from a population standpoint, it isn't.
It's 60 million.
Yeah.
Of which about 45 million would be black people. There's about 2 million Indians, of the order of 5 million whites, of the order of 5 million so-called coloreds, which are people of Khoi descent, all of them mixed with white to greater or lesser degrees, and also people of Indonesian and Indian descent. But way back from the 1600s, these are Indians who came with the Indians and Indonesians who came with the Dutch in 1652.
And they have to get out too. I mean, are they also under the gun here, literally?
Everybody who's not black
okay.
is in danger. Is that blunt?
All right, that's what I remembered you telling us.
And if you, I have it on the authority of one of the families that came out to the U.S. in this first plane flight, mm-hmm. that there was at least one colored family among them.
Okay. When we come back in the next hour, we're going to talk about that. What's going on with the people that are coming to this country? What's the narrative? The visit to the White House, all that stuff. So
okay.
We will hit that running on the backside of the news. Our guest today is Dr. Harry Booyans. We are discussing South Africa current policy coming up, mm-hmm. and you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.